Meet Aminu Oluwadamilare Kazeem, fondly known as Aminu Olofada, a visionary entrepreneur and the founder of Ofada Hub, an agro-processing company transforming Nigeria's Ofada rice industry. Through Ofada Hub, Aminu is revolutionizing the journey of locally grown brown rice from seed to plate. Partnering with farmers in Abeokuta, she provides quality seeds, agricultural training, and a guaranteed market for their harvest. This collaborative effort has boosted rice production by 30% and empowered rural farmers. Leveraging more than tech-driven equipment, Ofada Hub ensures seamless processing, minimal handling, and world-class packaging, bringing Ofada rice to tables across Nigeria and beyond. With innovative supply chain partnerships and digital marketing strategies, Aminu is bridging the gap between rural farmers and global markets, alleviating poverty and positioning Ofada rice as a symbol of Nigeria's agricultural excellence. Aminu Olofada, where tradition meets innovation, one grain at a time.
Hi everyone, my name is Aminu Kazeem. I am the founder of Ofada Hub Nigeria Limited. Ofada Hub is an indigenous agro-processing company that is ensuring a healthy and safe processing of one of Nigeria's locally grown rice, popularly known as Ofada rice. We partner with smallholder farmers in the western region of Nigeria to ensure that this rice is adequately processed in safe and hygienic conditions, and we proceed to process for consumers and other businesses. Ofada Hub has been in existence for 8 years, and in these 8 years, we've been able to promote this locally grown rice to the shores of the world with over 5,000 individuals and other businesses, both here in Nigeria and in diaspora that we supplied. We've also launched other complementary products to make the consumption of this local rice easier. So if you are familiar with Ofada rice, there's a special sauce that has to be made with it, which requires you bleaching palm oil before you can make it. So one of our journey as a business is to make sure that we bring not just healthy food products, but ease and convenience to the consumers. And that's why we've launched the Ayamase oil, which is the bleached palm oil. This makes it, it's already bleached for your Ofada sauce, and you just have to put on fire and make your Ofada sauce. We also have the dry pepper blend. Yeah, it's the dry form, and it's for our consumers and Nigerians in diaspora who cannot take along the fresh pepper. So we already processed it to the dry form, and all you have to do is, you know, soak in hot water and get your Ofada sauce. So basically, that is what we do at Ofada Hub, bringing convenience and ensuring you have healthy, well-processed Ofada rice at every point in time. Running this brand in the past eight years, one of the most defining movements for me that made me know that I'm really doing something good was earlier this year. I was named as one of the top 50 MSME founders by MSME Africa. And also I launched the Food Business Growth Masterclass. We just concluded the medium version. So what is the Food Business Growth Masterclass? In my journey being an entrepreneur and being in the food business space, one of the problems I majorly faced as a food business founder was one, lack of access to mentors. I can say at the time when I started, I searched the streets of Instagram looking for someone who was doing something similar, you know, I could walk up to, and there was none. So I had to go through the phase of doing everything all by myself, and it was really hectic. One of the challenges I also faced was access to funding. So the food business, generally, we operate on a very low margin. And what makes it up for us is the volume that we do. And in the beginning, you don't get to do this volume. So what helps you speed up your growth is the access to funding. So in the early days of my business, I started out this journey of seeking external grants, finances, and support early enough. And, you know, the food business is very huge, and you can just walk up to somebody and say, oh, I do Ofada rice. And they just wonder, so what is it about Ofada rice? So you have to be able to define what makes you stand out as a food vendor. And that's why I launched the Food Business Growth Masterclass. It's a program It's a subsidiary of FatherUp that aims to train other food businesses who are just starting out on how to be investor ready, how to position themselves, how to define and separate themselves from other food business founders, and how to assess funding. So this year I was able to train 20 food business founders, and I was also able to give financial support to 4 out of this food businesses. So that is the redefining moment for me. The positive feedbacks and reviews I've gotten so far is a conviction that a lot more people are on this journey and they need the support. And I'm glad that I've gotten to a point where I can give back to not just my immediate community, but to other food business founders. So I started FatherUp from a pain point in my life. Growing up in Ogun State, I spent the first 24 years of my life in Abeokuta, Ogun State, and FatherUp was a normal household food. Later on, I found out it was a special delicacy for a lot more people who grew up in other states. You know, they only get to eat it when they go for all those Owambe special occasion. But for me, it was a normal household food. And going into the university, I always had it in excess. I would give my friends. They knew me for eating uni. But through these 24 years of my life, one thing I never knew was how healthy this rice is. The only thing people basically know and FatherUp is synonymous to is the stones, the shaft, dirt in it. You see people say, oh, I don't eat FatherUp because when I heard it one day, I almost broke my tooth. That was what it was known of. Nobody was talking about the healthy attributes, how better alternative it was to the regular rice, how it is as good as the basmati rice we all are craving about and all of that. And I didn't even realize it myself until a father figure in my life was diagnosed with diabetes, and during the course of his treatment, his doctor told him to stop consuming the regular white rice and he should replace it with a healthier choice, which he recommended FatherUp. That was very shocking for me because I'm like, I don't understand FatherUp, because it was a normal thing for me. And that led me to reading more, you know, doing findings. I started Googling, what is it? Why should it be a better alternative for a diabetic patient? And I was shocked about the things that I found out on FatherUp, and that was the redefining moment for me. Prior to that time, I was a makeup artist and I just learned videography, professional photography for my makeup business, and I stopped all of that and commenced my FatherUp journey. So it started from me picking stones out of the FatherUp for my other dad in my life so it can easily consume the FatherUp. And from there, I realized how much more people would be willing to get this thing from me. And what makes me stand out? Why will somebody want to buy from me rather than go to the market? You know, all of these questions were what prompted me to say, you know what? I'm about to do this business and I'm going to be different from the market women, and you are going to buy from me. And in this course of 8 years, not only have I introduced, we have this FatherUp. This is our smallest pack. This is a 2.5 kg size, by the way. We have it in bigger sizes. We have the 5 kg, we have the 10 kg, the 25 kg, and the 50 kg size. We supply to both retailers, wholesalers, African stores in diaspora. We offer white labeling, private labeling, just name it. And we have also launched complimentary products for ease of consumption. Some of the complimentary products are, the dry locust beans. We have the, this is a locust beans that we all know for your father's sauce, but this has been dried and makes it easy for export. So now we have people who do not like the locust bean because they do not like the sight of it, or they just don't like to see it in their meal. And locust bean is a healthy natural spice from Nigeria that our parents, our grandmothers used in the olden days. So it's a very healthy alternative. So what did we do? We introduced the Iru seasoning, right? This is a blended version of the dried locust bean. So you get to still enjoy the healthy benefits of locust bean without the sight of it in your meal. So all of this is to ensure that we bring ease and convenience to our consumers.
Hey, Amina.
Hi.
I love this name, Amina Olofada. So tell us a bit about it. I like to just hear some backstory about Amina Olofada.
So my name is Amina, right? And I don't think it was planned. So, you know, in this course of social media, you know, marketing your business, I think I mentioned earlier that at the time I started, I tried to look out on social media for people who were doing something similar and I could walk up to. And there was none, right? I searched and searched of other rice. There was nothing like that. So it was a lonely journey for me. But fast forward to about 3-4 years later, there were so many of other rice vendors on Instagram. A lot more people, you know, I think there was a sudden eye opening for people then too. There was a need for me to have a personal identity to separate myself from the crowd. And I just started putting Amina Olofada in my captions. And somehow I realized people will meet me outside. They don't know my name. They just go, Olofada up. So there was a need for me to push my name, Amina, out. And so I needed to put it in a way that it still resonates with what they know me for, which was the Olofada up. And that was how I started the Amina Olofada tagline.
So creative. Well done. So
when I want to talk to my Obas, I just go, "Hi Obas, it's your girl Amina Olofada here."
Wow, amazing.
Thank you.
That's a good marketing trick. Because people love to identify with something and you have created something for yourself. And it's also standing you out from other people that feel they are doing the same thing as you. So how has it been, especially when it comes to making money from this thing you love to do?
It's been tough. It's been a great journey of growth, you know, so many growth. But usually we don't talk about the hardship, right? We just come out to celebrate growth. Oh, I won this grant today. Oh, we made this sale. Oh, we just closed another partnership. Oh, we are supplying this store now. You know, that's what we all talk about. But behind the scenes is not as easy as it looks. There's been so many ups and downs. You know, the moment of, nah, I don't think I want to do this. I went to school now. And for the first 4 years, we clocked 8 years in November, on November 16th. And up until 2020, I still had a 9-to-5, right? So it was tough. Thank you. I took the bold step of focusing on Olofada Up full-time December 2020. And you know, there were moments where I felt like maybe I should just go back. Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe, you know, so many maybes. But those moments are just the difficult moments. When we overcome those moments,
you have victory on the other side.
Yes.
Beautiful. Your story is very interesting. And I know our viewers, our listeners are learning from you. I would love you to share the biggest challenge when it comes to cash flow that you have at the moment. Yes, the global economy, things are a bit shaky, but what's that biggest pain point when it comes to cash flow?
So the biggest part of cash flow for me is maintaining a steady inflow of money into the business, because the costs are always there. I can't take it out. I have people to pay at the end of the month. And one of the biggest challenges for me has been the Olofada rice farmers. So Olofada, what we are majorly known for is the Olofada rice, right? And the past 1 to 2 years, averagely, there's been a big problem for farmers in the Olofada rice business. There's been a shortage of supply. We do not even have the supply to meet up with the current demands that we have. So it's been really out of season and it's been a major problem. So I have people who would do the same businesses, but Olofada rice is just a sub-product for them, right? And in the course of this year, I had to call somebody that, well, how are you going through it? I said, oh, I've not even stocked it throughout this year. It's easy for them to just do away with it because they have all their product. It's not. But for me, I can't do that. Imagine coming to Olofada Up and I say, oh, there's no Olofada rice. How does that even sound? Right? So they need to constantly be at the mercy of the farmers. And for me to keep having this cash flow, because there are people that will come, oh, I want to buy this, I want to buy that. When you say there is no Olofada rice, they'll just be like, oh, wait, they don't buy the other products, because basically they are complementary products, right? So that has to be there. So the problem for me is because of the need to constantly make it available, so to keep the cash running, right? I've had to be at the mercy of the farmers. I've had to, you know, dance to their tunes. This is what they want. And I know somebody watching me right now will say, why are you not doing the farming yourself? So in 2019, I tried that. One of the things that I have access to as a business owner is support from family, right? So when I told my family members, my parents, I wanted to farm, they gave me a free land in Ogun State. So everything was at my call and beckon. But I lost everything. And it was a very tough moment for me in my life. You know, I cried for 6 months. I was battling that phase. And it just made me realize that I can't be on every point of the processing, right? I can't be on every value chain.
Yeah.
I'm on the processing end and I have to focus on the processing. So what I should be focusing on is how to bring partnership with the farmers that can make my processing easier, right? And a lot of these farmers are not educated. They are really, really olden days people, rural people. And sometimes to make them see the brighter future in things, they don't get it. They just want the money now. And they say, oh, this does not make sense. She can't, because you can't wake up one morning for no reason, say, this is how much you want to sell today. That is what they do. And they don't, how do I explain to them that this doesn't make sense? So having to deal with these people, it's difficult. And it just feels like the cash flow, my cash flow is subject to them. So we are just looking at the opportunity of other partnerships, you know, creating something bigger, training more people to go into the farming, create a hub for them where they can be processing strictly for us, and something that just puts us at an advantage and makes the cash flow a constant thing without being subject to be at someone's mercy. I think that is it for me. And one thing that has also helped my cash flow is the fact that I've built an international audience, right? So a lot of people, when we check our records, the Nigerian buyers have greatly reduced because of the economy. You cannot even afford the normal rice. So what are you looking for buying off of the rice, right? So the international market has helped my cash flow. And this year, I also managed to, you know, start up the Canada branch. So we now kind of earn money in dollars. So that's kind of helped us.
Leverage.
So I would say for every business owner, before the problem comes, look at how to penetrate, especially now that a lot more people are on the jackpot moment, right? So your market is greatly growing outside the country. Leverage on the market.
Wow. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I would also like to advise or recommend these farmers, you know, some of them are going to pass on the farming to their children.
Yeah.
But while they are still here, one of the things you could do, we might think they don't want to listen. They are also in the same crunch as every other business. So what you could do is actually get people to teach them in the language they understand. Also educate them to understand how valuable they are to the value chain. You know, sometimes people don't know how they fit in and how relevant they are in a particular space. That education, when it happens, it softens the heart. It's shows them where they actually sit, and when they understand their importance and what the impact on the economy, not just you, they will begin to change. And when they pass on to their children or whoever, they will also pass down what they have learned. So it's a curve that you and other people in your space will feel, because it's not something you can do alone. We partner with government agencies as well, or even people that want to support in the agricultural space. Education, if not, we will not have anything tomorrow.
Right.
And it then means no cash coming in. Even the one that is going to our jackpot brethren will also not go that way.
Yeah.
So we need to help our people understand. Most times, people at certain level don't know the value of. They don't know how important they are.
I agree with you, but I will say what is of greater importance is support from the government. The farmers know their value. As a matter of fact, they overestimate their value.
Wow.
So they know you are at their call and beckon. And there's no food without them. There's no you without them. So they've kind of placed a higher value. They are very important. Don't get me wrong. But they overemphasize that importance. So I think what is of more need is support from the government. They don't have that much support, right? So the food, the rice that we import, and they are reasonably cheaper than the locally grown rice, it's because the countries they are coming from, they benefit subsidies from their government. So they only get to pay a certain percentage, you know, the cost of what they've spent in production, because the government has covered a huge part of it, right? We don't have that here. So a farmer who grows on the 10 acres farmland, and at the end of the day, they can't even afford irrigation. Rice survives on water, right? There has been a depleted, the weather this in recent time has been really, you know, funny. We have, you know, the weather forecast is not as it used to be and all that. So it doesn't rain when it's supposed to rain.
And it rains when it's not supposed to rain.
And this has kind of affected the yield of the farmer. So a farmer with 10 hectares of land harvesting something from, you know, 6 hectares, there's no support. So what does he do? He splits the cost of that 10 over 6. And invariably, that increases the cost. So if we have more support, maybe, and even if it's as much as just free seeds, free fertilizers on all that.
Or even irrigation.
It just lessens the cost for the farmers, and it makes things generally easier for everyone, because we really cannot do without food. We cannot continue to depend on importing everything we are consuming. We have the ability to grow these things. We have the resources. Just make it available for them, and it will be easier for everyone ultimately.
Okay, so another thing I'm looking at is a question to you, because I already said you are going to educate our audience, because you've been in this space, and from the things you are saying, you are already creating solution for the ecosystem. Is it possible to have grants to support these farmers?
I will. Yes, grants, but why don't you make it equipment or facilities, right? It's a tough time, right?
Yeah.
So what guarantees you that that person you are giving 5 million is putting the 5 million in the farm? So that's why I said things like, you know, we can call it grants. Let's give this farmers 5 million each. Let's give these farmers 10 million each. But let's give them in form of seeds, fertilizers, you know, something that increases their yield. But everything is still financial support, right? But it's coming in a form that is ensuring that it goes into what is actually meant to go into. So yes, I'm all down for making grants available to farmers, agricultural extension and all that. But there has to be a process to ensure that it is adequately
used
for the right
purpose. It supports them in the right areas. Yes. So since you're already creating a community, I'll recommend that is what you will push for, even if you want government support, not in form of cash. It should be in form of equipment that will help them produce more, so that your cash flow can keep flowing.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And I believe that when we see in the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months, we will hear that there are grants, not financial grants, but grants that will help farmers to get these, so that you keep supplying both Nigeria and diaspora customers. Thank you very much, Amina Olofada.
Yes.